Matthew 14, verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place. Time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go to the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said to them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said to him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them here to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples gave it to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. So Jesus can take what we have that is not even enough for us, share it with others, and we end up with more than we need. How does that work? That's what they, I know they talk about new math, but this is old math, isn't it? This is spiritual math. That's right. You give it away and you don't lose any. That's right. And so what is he teaching us here besides just the power of Jesus to make a difference? He's teaching us that even when we don't have enough for ourselves, we got to think about others. And in fact, it's amazing that people who don't have a lot are more willing to give away part of what they have than those who have much because they want to keep it all. And so Jesus fed the thousands with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, not the focus of what we're going to talk about this morning. But after he did that, he told the disciples, "I need y'all to get in the boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." It's a great big freshwater lake referred to as a sea. And he said, "Y'all get in the ship and go across, and I'm going to take care of all these people." Thousands and thousands of people, and Jesus is standing at the back door shaking hands with all of them. And he's, you know, loving. And you ever think about that? I mean, the apostles have left. It's just Jesus there. And he said, "I'm going to send them away. I'm going to send them back home to their villages." And I think about the significance of being insignificant. Of those thousands of people, moms and dads and children, who came to hear Jesus preached, got a fish dinner, and got to shake hands or embrace the Lord himself. Just, we don't know their names. We don't know their backgrounds. We don't know what happened afterwards. But there they were on the hillside with Jesus. There they were with the Lord, the Son of God himself. And we don't even know who they are. We think we've had good experiences and we think we are, you know, important. But here are these unnamed people loving Jesus and Jesus loving them back. That's what Jesus does. He took what they had that was not enough for them. He shared it and gave them back more than they needed. It says in verse 22 that he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Jesus gave so much of himself that at the end of the day, or again, after he had visited with all these thousands of families, and now he goes apart. Don't you think he was weary? Don't you know he was tired? Do you know how much it takes out of you when you... Did Jesus have a lot to say to each one of them? You know what I bet Jesus did? I bet Jesus just let them tell their story. Now, of course, it wasn't every one of those families. Some of them just passed on and went on their way. But for the ones that stopped and talked, and Jesus just listened to them tell their stories. of all their complications, of all their situations, Jesus listened to what was going on. And that's what we see there. Finally, they're all gone, and what does Jesus do? Jesus finds a place to get alone. Now, don't raise your hands on this, but let me encourage you in something. You need time to yourself. Whether that's 10 minutes or 20 minutes or a half hour, whatever it is, you need time for yourself. Brother Levi, that's hard, isn't it? That's hard when we got all these kids hanging on our ankles and we're dragging them across the house. We don't get a moment of privacy. But in your situation, it may be very similar to that. Not necessarily because you've got tricycle motors on your heels, but because we have filled our lives with earbuds and iPads and computers and radios and televisions, and we've always got noise. We need time away from all of that, whether you go to the park to get it or to the coast, to the water. I see Leslie, she does that a lot, tries to. Or whether it's to the woods, right? Amen, Brother Ronnie. Or whether that's in the car with the radio off or at home, steal away and get some time, just you and God. I mean, look, there's good preaching that you can listen to and be encouraged. Turn that off too. We need time just between you and God. Jesus did that. He stole away to the mountain. He's a busy guy. There are a lot of people making a lot of demands of his time. But he takes the time to go aside and just be with the Father. That's very interesting, isn't it? Wonder what they talked about. Wonder what Jesus said to the Father as he was there just alone on the mountain. Remember that John the Baptist had just been killed. And now he's gone off and fed the thousands of people. Maybe he talked to the Father. Did you see when I asked them to feed the people and they said, we don't have anything to give them? Did you see that, Father? And then I took what they had and all I did is take it and pray and give it back to them. And they fed thousands of, did you see that? Did you see what happened? Did you see their attitude? You see how big their eyes got when they fed everybody and they had 12 baskets left? Did you see? That was fun, wasn't it, Father? Did you hear what that family told me? And shared their burden and they shared their need. Father, were you listening to what they had to say? Did you see that one that had the son that had a physical need? Or did you see that one that brought his mom and she had some health problems? Father, did you see that? You see, Jesus, as he's talking to the Father, it's just like when we talk to the Father today through Jesus and we say, Father, we're praying for their salvation, and this one we're praying for their health, and this one's in the ICU at the hospital right now, and her husband at her bedside, and she's on a ventilator, and God, they need you. And this one's in a nursing home, and their health is failing, and they're sad, and they're lonely, and their family needs your help, and we all need you. All of that stuff, when Jesus went to the Father, it was just like you going to the Father. I don't know about you, but when I get up from prayer, I feel better. When I get up from prayer, I feel like I'm a giant. Because God has given me that hope and given me that strength, and I poured all my burdens out to Him. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there's a key word in there. It said He went alone. And he came off that mountain, he could walk on water. I hadn't tried that one. Well, I did try it. I was even at Galilee and tried it. Couldn't walk on that water either. Maybe he talked about the apostles' lack of compassion or vision. But he gets done praying and he comes down off the mountain. It's in the middle of the night. The wind's blowing. It's a fierce wind. The ship they're on is just being beaten up by the storm. These apostles are on there, and you know, they're all looking at Peter, James, and John. Y'all are the fishermen. Y'all are the ones supposed to get us out of this mess. You're supposed to know this water. All right, help us out, help us out. The wind's blowing and it's fierce so much that there's, you know, that mist that comes off the waves as it blows. Jesus came out of prayer and he walked on the water. He walked across the water. He got out there and they saw Jesus walking on the water. Of course, it's dark. They can't see him. They don't know exactly who he is. And what are they supposed to think? We can judge them because they said, it's a ghost or it's a spirit. But what were they supposed to think? People don't walk on water. They'd never seen it before. They didn't know what it was. They just knew there was a figure of a man approaching them and not on a boat. And he was just coming across the sea. And they cried out for fear. Jesus, when he heard their cries, he just immediately reassured them how with his voice. With his voice. He didn't do as he had done before and raise his hands above the water and say, peace, be still. He didn't do that. He spoke to them and they knew his voice. And he said, guys, be of good cheer. It's me. Don't be afraid. Wasn't that remarkable? And then something happened. You ever surprise yourself with what comes out of your mouth? Peter said he's in that boat and he asked something nobody expected. I think he surprised himself. He said, Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come out to you. On the water. I don't think Simon Peter, in all of his years up to this point, ever considered walking on water. He was a fisherman. He knew the fisher's life. He was a sailor. He was a boater. He knew what it was all about. Mending nets, fixing the boat, fixing the sails, going out on the water, rowing, whatever it took. He knew the water life. On the back of his pickup truck says salt life right there. Some of you understand that. Some of you don't. It's okay. But he was a water guy. But I don't think he had ever considered getting out there and doing what Jesus was doing at that moment. You see, what happens is when we see other people do it, sometimes we think, well, if they can do it, I can do it. That's why it's so important for us to come to church. That's why it's important for us to be in the Word. That's why it's important for us to win souls, important to evangelize, important to reach people with the gospel, important to pray when you're at a restaurant or when you're eating at work or whatever, and let people see you do it, and then they may think to themselves, hey, if they can do it, I can do it. We got to be leaders. Why was Jesus walking on the water? Because he didn't have a jet ski. I mean, he wanted to get out where they were, but he didn't have another way. And so what did he do? He just walked. And Simon Peter saw Jesus do something he had never imagined in his life, and he thought, well, I want to do that too. Guys, that's good if we're being a good example for people to want to follow our example. But what if they say, well, if he doesn't go to church, then I guess I don't need to go to church either. Because they do say that. Are we being a good example? Well, he never reads his Bible, so if he's not going to read his Bible, why do I need to read mine? Well, he just sat down and ate, and he didn't pray, so I guess if he could do that, I guess I could do that. Well, I guess if she's going to wear that, then I could wear whatever I want to also. Right? They're following examples. We're following examples. Simon Peter saw somebody do something. He thought that was remarkable. He had never thought of it before, but he thought to himself, maybe I could do that too. And so he cried out and said, God, can I do that? Jesus, if you'll tell me to come out there, I can do it. And Jesus said, well, come on. And the Bible says Simon Peter stepped out of the boat In verse number 29, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Only other guy to ever do it besides Jesus himself. Walked on the water. It doesn't say how many steps he took. It doesn't say how excited he was, but he was trying something new he'd never thought of. He saw Jesus do it. He said, if Jesus can do it, I want to do it. And he got it there and he walked on water. And it's just like when people get saved. People get saved and they have a new experience and they're standing up when they used to fall down because of their faith and because of their confidence in God. But like a lot of people that get saved, a few steps down the road, they begin to look around and take their eyes off Jesus. And that's what Simon Peter did. It says, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Isn't that what it says? He knew why he was out there. He knew what he was doing. Think about it this way. That ship was rocking with the wind. And Simon Peter said, I'm tired of being on this rocking ship. I want off. And if that means out there, I'll take it because I'm tired of the situation I'm in. Isn't that what happens with people? They're tired of the situation they're in. They look at somebody else. They say, I want to get out and I'll go where they are. That looks like a better situation. I got to get out of this situation. And so they get out of that situation. But then, again, they took their eyes off Jesus. And all of a sudden, the new situation is no better than the old situation. Guys, we've got to be consistent. We've got to be persistent. We've got to be diligent. We've got to stick with God. When God's called us to something, he's given us opportunity to something, hang in there. Trust the process. Follow him. What happened? He saw the wind boisterous. How many of you can see wind? You can't see it, can you? Can't see wind. We see the effects of the wind. I'm not criticizing the writer. I'm not criticizing the authority of Scripture. But what I'm saying is a lot of times we see what's not there. A lot of times we imagine what's there. A lot of times we let our imagination get the best of us by what we're seeing around us, and we carry it to another extreme. Guys, we can destroy ourselves by our negative thoughts. What caused Simon Peter to sink? One thing, negative thoughts. Doubt. Discouragement. However you want to label it, he lost his hope for that moment. He lost his confidence for that moment. And then what does the Bible say? He began to sink. Isn't that what it says? Beginning to sink. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried saying, Lord, save me. Beginning to sink. Beginning to sink. Beginning to sink. Guys, if we'll go to the Lord in the beginning of our problems, we'll find out our problems don't last quite as long. But when we let that problem set in and we wait till we're, you know, treading water, we wait till we're dog paddling out there in the water, we waste a lot of time and hurt ourselves and cause a lot of stress that's unnecessary. Guys, when it gets started, go to Jesus. Talked about that in Sunday school a little bit. When it gets started, at the beginning, go to Jesus. And if Peter hadn't have done that, he'd have gotten a lot wetter. By the way, can you imagine how much time do you think it takes me in my present physical beauty? What's the difference in beginning to sink and sunk? I'm not buoyant, right? Beginning to sink and sunk is just that much difference. I mean, I step in the water and before you know it, I'm in over my head. Guys, that's how much time we can't waste. We need to go to God in prayer. When the trouble's coming, we need to go to God in prayer. We need to cry out before we're you know, how much difference is it between being up to your shoulders and in over your head? That much difference of time. Don't wait. Cast your care upon Him. He cares for you. Pray now, Lord, in this situation, I'll give it to You. I ask You to give me direction. Solve the problem. If you're here this morning, you've not trusted Christ, now's the time. From your heart to God's heart, say, God, I put my faith in You. I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for me and rose the third day. And I ask You to forgive my sins and save my soul. And God, I give my life to You. I don't want to waste it. I give it to You. You do with me what You will. I surrender to You. He stepped out of one scary situation into another scary situation. But he called out to God and he was rescued. Verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. But Willis Malinsky asked a question earlier. He said, maybe sometimes we feel like God's calling us to something, and then when we get there, it doesn't go the way we expected it to. God will sometimes bring us into a situation, and then we'll serve our purpose. He quoted another verse in his presentation. He said, Paul planted, Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. Sometimes we're just the planter, and sometimes we come in after the planting and we're just the waterer. We just got to do our part. And if we'll surrender to God and let Him lead us, then we can be satisfied we have fulfilled our part. But we've got to let Him have every bit of us. Don't hold back. You see, Peter, as he was stepping out of the ship, he said, Lord, if it be You, bid me to come. And Simon Peter climbed out over the side of the edge. Is that what he did? Jesus said, you want to do what? He said, I want to walk on water. He said, well, come on. Peter did that. Don't you know that's what he did? I'm not going to do a jig. Sister Carolyn's not here to laugh at it anyway. Can't you see him walking on water? Looking back at the boat going, man, you should have asked, huh? And then he saw some ocean spray. He felt some of that water hit him in the face coming off the wave. And he began to look at what the wind was doing all around him, and he began to hear the whistling of it. And fear set in. Guys, it's a whole lot better when you're just enjoying what God's brought us to instead of worrying about how it's going to be destroyed and how it's all going to come crashing down. Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter, you were walking on water, man. Why do you just, your life was so good. I could take you back in testimony after testimony of people that have come through these doors and been through the role of this church, and they had life completely at their mercy. Man, they were just living it, the dream. And then they let sin creep in. Because they took their eyes off Jesus. And they're not in the same situation that they were. Guys, let's enjoy the work of God in us. Let's let God do His perfect work in us. And not be distracted by the troubles or the worries of what might come. Would you stand? Father, we love You so much, and we're thankful to be in Your house and in Your Word. God, we realize that sometimes we get our eyes off of You. When life is going well, when You've been so good to us and You've poured out Your blessing and Your grace is abundant, and we let some little problem, some little doubt creep in. And we drop out of church and we quit praying and we quit reading our Bible and we quit being committed and we quit being good stewards and we just get sloppy and lazy and careless and reckless. And then we look back and remember, hey, I used to walk on water. God, show us your heart for each of us today and do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I can remember a time when I used to walk on water. Life used to be good and I used to know the voice of the Savior when he would direct me, when he would call me, when he would lead me. But now I've backslidden so far that I don't even know if I'd recognize the voice of God. But I can remember a time I walked on water. You see, I'm afraid that many of us have forgotten the time when we used to really serve God well. Used to do his work for his sake. A time when you walked on water. But something happened and now you're sunk. Why? Because you didn't call out when you started to sink. You just went down with the water. You just sunk. Because you didn't want to admit you needed help. Well, it's time to get back. Call out to God this morning and say, God, I need your help. Not as close as I used to be. I'm not as faithful as I used to be. My faith has waned. But God, I need you today.